Hello, everybody, and welcome to Real Stories. This is episode 43, and it will be a let's not meet type episode. So let's get into it. This happened in 2008 when I was 9 years old. I lived in a townhome community where each road had two sides of homes. In between the backs of the houses, there was a back road with alleyways that went in between each building section. I lived on the edge of one of these, and my townhome was on one of the alleyways. I lived on one street, and across the back road on the opposite side lived an elderly woman whose name I don't even know. I am not sure what her situation was, but for whatever reason, she never liked me specifically. She was creepy and spray-painted all of her windows so no one could see inside of her house. However, that never stopped her from sometimes staring out her bedroom window directly at mine and keeping it open at night to shine a red strobe light into my room across the way. She used to yell how she hated us. I was in the fourth grade, and on a particular January morning, I had unfortunately missed the bus. My dad sent me outside to get in the car so he could drive me, and he said he'd follow me out soon after. As I was walking to my dad's car, she came out of the alleyway next to my house, slowly, with a gigantic kitchen knife behind her back. She raised it and started running after me. I was faster than her, so I was able to avoid her and was able to get into the house. She walked and stood on the neighbor's porch across the way and stared at my house. I was terrified. My dad ran out and yelled at her, and she said she wanted to get rid of us, quote, stupid kids. My parents called the police, but the police sent her home and had an ambulance pick her up later. My parents went to some sort of court proceeding about it, but I don't really know the details. I didn't see her again after that, until 1 year later. I don't remember the day, but it had snowed that morning, so I was going to run out of the front door and play in the snow. I opened the door to see her standing on the porch, but looking out towards the road. I panicked, closed the door, and locked it. I ran up to my parents' room and told them what happened, and we saw her walk off the porch up the street. I never saw her again after that. My family has since moved far from there, but people I know say she still lives there, and her windows are still the same spray-painted type. Though it doesn't affect me as much as it used to, I still don't like being around knives. Yikes. This one hits a little close to home for me because when I was a kid, I am not making this up. When I would be out to eat with my parents, like, old ladies would come up to the table and be like, "He's so cute." And it was so creepy. And my parents to this day still laugh about it because they know that it freaks me out. But so this story definitely sends a little chill up my spine. But in this story, our author is just trying to chill at home and he has got a really scary neighbor. So in this case, his neighbor, whose name he doesn't really even know, she had her windows spray painted so nobody could see inside her house. That's a red flag. I'm not gonna lie. That's a red flag. That's weird. Why are you doing that? Why do you not just get curtains? Why do you get spray paint? What are you hiding? I'm just made of questions here, but no answers. So on top of just being weird, she's made her disdain for the kids, especially our author, well known, as apparently she used to yell about how she hated them. This is a child, by the way, 9 years old. Why do you hate this child so much? Also, another humongous red flag, she would stare out of her bedroom window directly into our author's bedroom and keeping it open at night just to shine a red strobe light into the author's room. So that is just rude, first of all. You're shining a bright light into somebody's bedroom. That's harassment, because you're not letting them sleep. You're just being a bother for no reason. So I don't know what happened or who hurt this old lady, but man, what a weirdo. So
This behavior escalates, as it often does with people who do really weird things. They don't just stop doing weird things. They often do weirder things. So, one morning, our author had missed his bus and is trying to get a ride from his dad to school. He goes out to wait by the car, and this psychotic old lady neighbor comes out with a gigantic kitchen knife behind her back and then starts running after our author, who is 9 years old. So that's absolutely insane. So the kid runs back inside. Luckily, he makes it and does not get stabbed by this psychotic old lady. And then his dad goes out there and yells at her, which is also pretty brave of him to go yell at somebody with a big weapon. I would maybe just call the cops at that point if I was his dad, but, you know, to each their own. Also, when the dad yelled at her, she was saying that she wanted to get rid of those stupid kids. That is a big threat. So the police end up showing up and they send her home, and an ambulance comes and picks her up later. So I don't know what was going on, but I think it's very, very possible that some mental health issues were going on with this lady, because this behavior is extreme and very erratic. So it is possible that she was suffering from some sort of psychosis, and it's possible that she didn't take medication and that's why the ambulance came and got her. I really don't know, but very, very weird situation, very scary situation. Our author then doesn't see this lady for a year. And then when he does, he goes out to play in the snow, as normal kids do in fourth grade, and he opened the door to see the creepy old lady on the porch looking out towards the road. So he panics, closes the door, and runs away and runs up to his parents. After that, they saw her walk off her porch up the street and never saw her again. So another ominous conclusion, which I don't like ominous conclusions. I need clarity. I need resolution at the end of these stories. Definitely a very weird situation. You know, these mental health conditions are not people's fault, but they are their responsibility to deal with. And that's not just a BetterHelp ad, but it's really important for people to take the necessary steps and take care of themselves. Luckily, she wasn't seen again, so luckily there is a bit of resolution, but not knowing what happened to that lady is weird. We'll be right back with more creepy stories after this word from today's sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey guys, so I want to talk to you guys about BetterHelp, but first I want to talk about mental health and why I think it's so important. Because for years I was living with really bad anxiety that really affected me in a lot of ways. I didn't want to go out, I didn't want to be around big groups of people, and I was always just nervous and kind of paranoid and thinking the worst about things. However, when I decided and was finally able to talk to somebody about it and got the help, and in my case, maybe got on some medication, it was able to help me exponentially, and I wish I had done it sooner. So I say all that to say, if you're thinking about giving therapy a chance, I strongly recommend BetterHelp. BetterHelp has licensed therapists who are trained to listen and to help you. And you can talk to them in an online environment at your convenience. No awkward waiting room stuff. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's network of 20,000 therapists that give you access to help that may not be available in your area. And all you have to do is fill out a quick questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched with a therapist in as little as 48 hours. And then you can go on and schedule video or phone sessions, and you can exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. Also, if you're not feeling your therapist, you can request a new one at no additional charge anytime.
So join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/realstories. That's betterhelp.com/realstories, all one word. There's no time like the present to get your mental health in order, especially if you've been struggling. Reach out and get help. Sigh. So after crying just a little bit after looking at the crime scenes on the internet, I think it might be time to tell this story. It's just one of those moments when I randomly start thinking about it in a more serious mood than usual. It's gonna be long. So this happened about 4 months ago now. Maybe more, but I really don't know for sure. Anyway, I was 19 years old, and I was going home from university after classes. I usually take my keys with me, but around that time, I had lost them, and my mom was yet to take me to get a new copy. I remember I kept insisting, but she wouldn't listen. So what I did was knock on the door to get my younger brother's attention, so he'd come and let me in, but my mom also took his keys and just left him there locked up as well. I asked my brother to pass me my charger from my room, and I called one of my aunties to see if I could go hang out at her workplace in the meantime. She said yes and then told me to call an Uber that she would be paying for as soon as I got there, and that's exactly what she did. Now, the Uber didn't pick me up exactly at home. It was in the house across the street instead. No special reason, it just did. The moment I saw the guy, he gave me kind of a weird vibe, but I also tend to be paranoid every time I so much as hop in a taxi, so I just got in, rolled down the windows, and kept a grip on both of my phones. It all seemed relatively normal until we got to the area where my aunt's workplace was. He just completely drove past it and claimed he was following the GPS when I asked him about it, but he wouldn't let me see said GPS. He seemed to know exactly where he was going. Now, I was kind of doomed from the beginning because I don't know directions, and I could only really rely on the driver being a decent person and recognizing the area, which I did. But wherever he was taking me, I had no idea. I remember seeing this fountain that I could recognize from when my mom drove to my uncle's place, but that was like way farther away than my aunt's place. By now, I was kind of thinking of what to do because this guy drove past a ton of empty houses, and a couple of them even seemed to still be under construction. Then he stopped near a place that looked like the end of civilization. We were literally on a hill, and then he turned off the car. I got lucky in so many ways looking back on it. My phone had no credit. As soon as I thought of that, my aunt called me and asked, "Where are you?" And I literally felt my heart drop because I had no idea, and this dude was just staring at me. I said I didn't know and asked him, "Hey, where did you take me?" And he replied with, "I wouldn't know what to tell you, kid." That was enough for me. I grabbed my backpack and opened the door real quick with a loud, "That's fine, I'll see myself out," and hauled ass like I have not done in a very long time. I remember even being afraid of carrying my backpack on my back in case he'd chase me and pull onto it, so I was holding it in my hand with my hoodie wrapped around my waist as I thought of where to hide. I thought of knocking on someone's door, but for some reason that didn't seem safe to me at this moment. I remember telling my aunt not to hang up because he was still following me in the car. Then I saw an empty barren surrounded by concrete walls and a strong bar gate, except there was enough space under the gate to crawl in, so I literally threw the backpack over and then crawled under. There was a huge electric control box, and I opened it to crouch inside and hide. My aunt still on the phone with me. She, my other aunt, and my uncle were all on the call with each other, putting credit on my phone and asking for my live location through WhatsApp because I had no idea where I was, literally in the middle of nowhere. I waited there for like 2 hours, and this guy wouldn't leave. I even had to go pee outside the box and immediately ran back inside. There was even tiny spiders and old honeycombs, so I was also fighting both my arachnophobia and trypophobia. At some point, I'm guessing this guy left and my uncle got there in his truck. He didn't know where I was, so he kept honking and telling me to tell him when I could hear it getting closer. And then I finally did, and I got out. For a while, I thought maybe this had just been a misunderstanding, and I just jumped out of some guy's car like a maniac without even paying him. But then, when I got home after staying at my aunt's pharmacy for a while until my mom, who still didn't know much about what had happened, picked me up. I checked the Uber app, and not only did it say I had already paid, but it also said I made it to my destination, so I ruled that out. I had told my aunts not to tell my mom about it because she goes insane at a minor inconvenience, so telling her this would only freak her out and she wouldn't be of any help. I only let her know when I called her to come get me and on our way home to get a copy of the key because, of course, something bad had to happen until she actually listened to me, and nowadays she always puts credit on my phone. Anyway, so that's what went down. I had to Indiana Jones that thing twice, and to this day, my family brags about how I was able to keep myself perfectly composed and react quickly, which I'm still shocked about. I remember seeing broken glass and metal bars lying around and telling my aunt, if I'm going down, I'm taking him with me, in a joking manner because her blood sugar levels were really messing her over. On our way home, my mom told me I wasn't in hysterics because I was in shock and that it would hit me the next day. It didn't. I kept going around as normal. But last week, she brought it up again and asked if I didn't think I was going to die. I said, of course. But I also knew freaking out would either make me an easier target or just not help me get away at all. When I remember it, more than scared, I feel angry. I could have been one of the many, many girls who just disappear and are later found dead in a random hill or a ditch. And I can't say I suffer survivor's guilt because in all honesty, I don't. But I can't help but think that could have been me whenever another dead kid or teenager is on the news as a missing. It really could have gone terribly wrong. My parents believe this guy was a rookie who maybe felt sorry for me and let me go. Because if he had wanted to, he could have hurt me with some sort of weapon or just try to kill me right then and there. I don't even know anymore. I sent his profile to all the girls I know so that if they ever happen to get him as their Uber driver, they can cancel. Since then, I don't take Ubers anymore. Wherever this guy is right now, I don't want to be ever again. Yikes, another Uber story. You know, I've taken my fair share of Ubers, and granted, they've all gone relatively smoothly, but it's really a test in your faith in humanity when you do that. Because even though these rideshare apps have taken certain steps in recent memory to ensure that things go safely, they're relying on their drivers to not be bad people. Because when you're getting into somebody's car, you're taking that risk. Because you would hope that, you know, the risk would be minimal and that they'll just take you to your destination and that'll be that. But at the end of the day, you don't really know who you're getting in the car with. You see a picture and maybe they have some ratings, but you never really know until you're in the car with them. So it's really, really scary that stuff like this can happen. But I will say that they have taken steps to make sure that these things go smoothly. I have said this before, and I will say it again, that Uber does a thing now where if your ride goes off course, they will message you and ask you if you're okay. So this really would have helped our author out in this story. Because if they go off the path and they text you, are you okay, and you don't respond, I believe that they notify authorities. I could be mistaken, but I am like 99% sure that I've heard that. So they've definitely had to take steps, but they've had to take those steps because of situations like this, where some freak is trying to do who knows what to this poor girl who's just trying to get to her destination. And it's unfortunate because when you get in the car, it's also a power dynamic too, because you're not driving, obviously. They are. So you have a little bit of control. Granted, she was able to get out of the car, but it's really scary to know that these type of people are out there. And you hope that they're on the fringes, but I don't know sometimes. We've had quite a few Uber stories, so I'm hoping that they are from before they took more safety precautions. But so in this story, our Uber driver picks up our author, and instead of taking her to her destination, he kind of drives her out into the middle of nowhere like a serial killer would. And at one point, our author is on the phone, and her aunt, who has now been expecting her, is like, "Yo, where are you at?" And she's like, "I don't even know." That's so scary, because not only are you in a bad situation, but you're in a very unfamiliar place. Especially if you're out in the middle of nowhere, there's less witnesses, it's just a lot sketchier. But luckily, our author was very quick on her feet, and she grabbed her stuff and got right out of there and found a place to hide. Now, while she was hiding, that Uber stayed around for a little bit. So we really don't know what he had planned for her, but it doesn't sound like it was anything good. Why else would you take somebody so far away from their destination when that's your only job? We can only assume malicious intent was coming. But so our author ends up hiding in a big electrical box, which, I mean, you got to do what you got to do in these situations. If that works and you fit in there without getting electrocuted, more power to you. Eventually, her family members were able to track her using the live location on WhatsApp. So, like I've said before, guys, whether it's WhatsApp or the iPhone, share your location with trusted people. Make sure that they are, it's like a lifeline in just these type of scenarios. Because often, when is that used? When you're looking for your friend and you guys are trying to rendezvous and you're not exactly sure where they are. Or make sure your friends got home and got home safely. That's what I often check it for. Because my friends and I all left, you know, a bar where whenever. Did everybody make it home? I'll text them. But if they forget to text, I'll check their location. And it's honestly, there's safety in numbers. So it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. Because you don't want to be in a situation where you wish somebody had your location and they didn't. Because we have the technology and we might as well use it. Because it keeps people safe and it saves lives. In this case, it saved this girl's life for certain. But yeah, you just got to be really careful using these apps. And you got to be aware of your surroundings too. If you're just in an Uber, just on your phone, not paying attention to where you're going, you should be aware, like, okay, I am this far away from my destination. It should take this long to reach my destination. And if not, if you start seeing weird turns, unfamiliar vibes where you know that you're not supposed to be, definitely question that and definitely act on that, because weird people stay alive. You know, that's what they always say in all these true crime shows, that the weird people who act up and save themselves, they stay alive. If you just don't say anything because you were too nervous to say anything and you're just like, well, maybe it'll work out. I don't know. I should just trust them because they're a driver. No, you got to look out for you first. So definitely a very scary situation, but hopefully this is the type of story that inspired a change in Uber. And hopefully this happens much less frequently. Okay, I should start this story by giving a bit of background so that you understand the situation a bit better. I'm a 4'9", 16-year-old girl at the time. I had two big dogs who were brothers from the same litter. Now, being boxers, they were relatively big and quite protective when they need to be. Vince was longer, much taller than his brother, and is usually the kind to sleep through a hurricane if we had one. His brother, Maury, was shorter but more muscled, stronger. Usually, these two were with me 24/7, as my mother used to work a lot and I was usually home alone most of the day, sometimes even until after dark. This never really bothered me. I'd been left home a lot like this since I was 11. It never really struck me that I had a reason to be worried. One day that my mom was working later, I was doing some household chores, feeding the dogs, doing dishes, stuff like that. I continued doing what I always had, a routine of tidying the house I had done every day for years. As I went to take the trash out of the bin, I started walking towards the door when Maury stepped in front of me. I tried moving around him, telling him to get out of my way and sort, but he refused to budge. This was certainly odd, and looking back on it now a few years later, I realized he was probably trying to stop me from walking outside. We continued like this for a few more moments. Me trying to get past him, of course, him never moving from his spot. He was quite heavy as a big dog, so it was difficult to lift him and even harder to get him away from something. Now, in the time we had been going back and forth in this interaction, Vince stayed happily asleep on his dog bed. I should note that from my kitchen, you can see the living room and bathroom. Usually, we use the side door from the kitchen to enter/exit the house since it attached to the carport. After a couple more minutes, I heard something I hadn't expected when I made one last desperate attempt to move Maury from his spot. He growled, which wasn't unusual, as he had growled plenty in his life. What was unusual was that he growled at me. He had never done that before, not once. But for that reason, and that reason alone, I decided not to take the trash out that night. I simply tossed it in another room and let it be. A short time passed, maybe a half an hour or so. I had gotten settled into my chair to watch some movie while I waited on my mom to get home. While I was watching the movie, I suddenly heard a quiet knock at the side door. As I mentioned earlier, you can clearly see the living room from the kitchen, so I heard the knock pretty well. It was already after dark, so I figured it was just my mother, and she had somehow forgotten her keys. I got up, went into the kitchen, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw the hook near the door. The keys weren't there. To some people, that's not a big deal. But to me, it meant that the person knocking on my door was, in fact, not my mother. My mom is a bit of a routine-obsessed person, so if she actually had forgotten her keys, they would always be on the hook. I took a breath, preparing myself to not just answer the door, but tell them that I wasn't interested in whatever was happening and that they should leave. Thinking about it now, I really wish I hadn't even looked out of the window on the door. I wish I had just sat back down, called my mom, and stayed out of sight. But of course, I walked in front of the door and immediately came face to face with a figure on the other side of the window. Now it was really dark, with just my neighbor's light shining from his porch, so I could only make out a couple of things on this guy. He was tall. I had to peer up at him through the window to look at his face. He had long hair that looked like a shadow over his shoulders in the dim light, but the only facial feature I could really see were his eyes. God, I wish I hadn't seen them. I could see the spark of interest flare in them as he perked up when he saw me. They were wide and staring down at me. He took a step towards my door, stepping on the first of two steps. I heard him say something along the lines of, "My car broke down nearby. Could I come in and use your phone?" I immediately thought of every bad thing that I had ever heard of happening to a teenager home alone, and I tried to compose my nerves. I'm not sure what it was, but something told me not to trust this man standing on the other side of my door. I shouted back a quick no and an apology, hoping he was telling the truth and would just simply go to the next house. But he didn't. Instead, he simply said it again, quite a bit louder. I thought for a quick moment he hadn't heard me, but then again, I know now that he most likely had. So I instead became a bit more confident. "I'm sorry, I can't help you. Go to the next house," I shouted louder. For a moment, he paused, as if contemplating what to do. Then he knocked again, louder than the first time I had heard. My heart rate increased as I stared at him. When I didn't react, he started to loudly bang against my door. I took a step back, praying to whatever God that he would either leave or that my mom would be home early. I was usually a quiet girl, but my mom was a badass redneck with a raptor knife. She could take him. He started to bang on the glass after a moment, my mind racing 1,000 miles an hour. Should I hide? Run? My phone was in the other room and I was scared to take my eyes off this guy. I was sure he would break through the glass. The banging was vibrating my eardrums, and apparently it was vibrating Maury's too. I saw him creeping up past the doorway, bending his head, teeth bared. He started to bark, loudly. The guy stopped a moment, trying to see into the window at the floor where Maury stood. When he stopped barking, the guy mistakenly tried to jiggle the door handle. Now that's when Vince woke up. I swear to God, for a dog that was dead asleep 5 seconds prior, I'd never seen him move that fast. Ever. In only 2 seconds, Vince had his paws up on the door, growling like a hellhound at the devil's side at this man outside my home. The guy jumped, fell back, and bolted. I heard him say something as he started to run and saw another shadow. My mom came home shortly after I had sprinted across my carport to my neighbor's. We called the police after I explained what had happened, and my neighbor had dragged his shotgun out before they even got there. He had insisted on looking for the guy. The police had said someone tried to pick the lock on my front door, but there was a lot of stuff in front of it, and it was really old, so it didn't open anymore. I went to bed that night, uneasy, and so very thankful I had two dogs who were not only strong and big, but ones that were vigilant and one that could practically kill you if you let him. A few weeks went by, and we hadn't heard from the cops, so eventually I stopped trying to think about it. Another month went by, and although I was a bit scared of being home alone, nothing else seemed to happen. Then we got another visit from the cops. What they told me made my heart sink into my chest and still gives me chills to this day. They had caught the guys and realized that they were stalking me. Yes, guys, plural. There were two guys that had apparently been stalking me without my knowledge for months. They had several photos of me with words that they had written over them. Awful words. The police had been fairly adamant that I change my locks, since they caught two guys and there was evidence of a third. We moved shortly after that. I still pass by that house sometimes when I go to visit friends or do stuff around the area. A chill runs down my spine every time I do. To think that they never caught one of the guys was scary enough. The fact that they tried to break into my house was worse, not to mention that I hadn't even known that they were watching me. I still think about it now a few years later. I dread what would have happened to me if my dogs weren't there, and I dread even worse what they would have planned to do if they had opened the door and successfully broken in. I suppose they weren't expecting my dog since our backyard is fenced in, and they mostly stayed indoors since it was so hot where I lived. I thank the universe every day that I had them, especially now. My mom never worked until after dark again after that, which in all honesty was fine with me. So to the man they still haven't caught yet, let's not meet. Aw, well, that was a nice story about how dogs are truly something that we do not deserve. I love dogs. Shout out to Maya, if you're listening. So in this story, our author, who was 16 at the time, I just want to point that out, is just trying to chill at home and wait for her mom to get home and watching a movie. Now, she is not alone, however, because she has two wonderful boxers, one named Maury and the other named Vince. So at one point, she starts hearing weird noises, and she's thinking about going to take the trash out. However, her dog, Maury, will not let her go and take the trash out, and she could not figure out why. This is unlike him, but he is very big and hard to move, so when he gets in her way and blocks her from going outside with the trash, she can't move him. And that ends up being a life-saving move by Maury, because it's very, very possible that these men were outside waiting for her and stalking her at that very moment. So Maury already one for one. Later that night, she is watching a movie and starts hearing noises again outside. And at one point, hears a knock on the door. Unfortunately, there's a big window in the door, and you can kind of see into the house from that. And she goes over to see if it's her mom who gets home, but it is not, because if it is, she would have just came in and her keys would have been on the key hook, but her keys were not there. So she looks and sees a guy there, taller dude, older, long hair, and he's giving the same spiel that people always give when they're trying to get somebody to open their door. Oh, my car broke down, and I'd like to use your phone. Now, one of my inherent problems with these creepy dudes is that it's like you are ruining the hypothetical possibility of people trying to seek assistance because their car broke down. Like, that has such a negative connotation behind it now. And it's like, what if people actually needed help because their car broke down? Now people aren't going to be as trusting because so many people have used this as a line to just try and get people to open their doors. It's so creepy. And it's really disappointing because they're turning this into like a boy who cried wolf scenario, where it's like so many people have used that and it's becoming such an untrustworthy line that when somebody finally does need it for real, people aren't going to open their doors. So it's really unfortunate. However, at one point, the guy sees our author and he's banging on the door and he's banging on the glass. At this point, her dogs sprint into action. So Maury is already there and he's barking. But then Big Vince, the big sleeper, comes out from his nap and goes right up to the door and starts barking and being really intimidating, which causes the would-be intruder to book it and run away. And this is a big thing with people trying to break in. Whenever they hear that there are dogs present, it is a big deterrent for them. And it's really interesting because it really makes you wonder why more people don't have big dogs, because they are multi-purpose. In addition to being cute and lovable, they protect your home. And this is far from the first time we've heard this type of story, even on this podcast. So it's really a big deal to have a dog that protects the house. I'm curious as to if my dog has ever actually protected us from anybody, as opposed to just barking at my friends and at Michaela. But who knows? Hard to say. We also have cameras, so if somebody was there, they would have figured it out. But I say that to say that these dogs are the true heroes of this story, and I just hope that they got, you know, belly rubs and treats, because it's really a scary predicament. She runs over to the neighbor's house after the dogs scared off the intruders. So they call the cops, and at first they're not able to really find them because, you know, they ran away. They get another visit from the cops at a later date, and they found two of the three guys. So not only was there that initial creep at the door, but there was another guy who they caught who was with him. And there's a third guy who they haven't caught to this day. So that is really scary. And not only were they creepy for trying to get into the door when she said no thank you after they tried to get in, but it gets even worse. Because they had pictures of our author, who, again, 16 at the time, and they said that they had like some inappropriate words written on the pictures. So I don't even want to speculate as to what they said, but I'm sure it was nasty. So a really, really scary predicament. And the fact that they didn't catch the third guy is very concerning. But I'm sure that, you know, Maury and Vince will be there to protect our author if she ever has any more creepy encounters. So shout out to Maury and Vince. Great, great dogs. Alrighty, guys, thank you for listening to episode 43 of Real Stories. Today you have heard, I Escaped an Uber Kidnapper by It Wasn't Me, Boys. Then, That Time a Creepy Neighbor Tried to Stab Me by Funfetti Dragon. And finally, My Dog's a Good Boy by Mad Mara. All stories were read with the permission of their respective authors, and if you have a story that you would like to hear on the show, please email it to me at thearspodcast@gmail.com. That's thearspodcast@gmail.com, and you can remain anonymous. Thank you guys again so much for listening, and if you enjoyed, tell a friend, share it on social media, whatever. Appreciate your support. I will have a brand new episode for you guys next week. So until then, stay safe and have a good rest of your week.